About 7 years ago, I was tired of teaching Greek. I was looking for someone that had the ability to come and do that. I had done a gospel meeting in a place called LaGrange, Texas, and Will Hanstein was the preacher there. And of course, I've known Will all of his life since Mark and I grew up together. And Will was one that had a very successful ministry in LaGrange. It was obvious that the people there loved and respected and appreciated the good work that he had done. But Will also had excelled academically at Fried Hardeman and received a degree there, and including a master's degree. And so the invitation was offered for him to come and to work with the Bear Valley Bible Institute. And Will came and has been the Greek tormentor, teacher, ever since. And has also been given the responsibility of being the director of our master's program. And Will has done, I think, a very, very good job of heading up that particular program and putting it together and making it the successful program that it is. So at this time, we'll turn it over to Brother Will Hanstein.
I need to speak in chapel more often to give introductions like that. I appreciate it very much, as undeserved as it may be. But I apologize at the beginning for this cold or allergies that I just can't shake. I want you to know that if I have to take out a Kleenex and wipe my eye, it's because my eye has started watering. It's, you know, Bob, his eyes water because he genuinely cares about you. My eyes water when I look at you, I guess, or something. But if you can bear with my voice and all of that, I'd appreciate it. But in 1 Corinthians 16:24, Paul says, "My love be with you all in Christ Jesus, amen." And my topic this morning is why I love Bear Valley students. And especially for those of you who have had my Greek class, you're saying that is a very strange topic for him to speak on, because it's obvious he doesn't love Bear Valley students. And that's true, for the most part. But there are a few things that I love about Bear Valley students, even the Raider fans. Amen. Now, amen. I don't understand how a Christian can be a Raider fan. And that's really true, actually. I just don't understand. It's like a Jew kissing a pig or something. It just doesn't make any sense. But in spite of the Raider fans kissing pigs, I do love Bear Valley students. And there are five things about you that I do love. And this is the truth. All kidding aside, there are five things about you that I love. And first of all, I love the choice that you made. I really do. You made a choice to come to school here. And a choice to be a preacher. And it reminds me of choices made by men in the Bible. If you look at Amos 7:12-15, for instance, and I'll just paraphrase this. But Amaziah said to Amos, "We don't want you up here in Bethel. Go do your prophesying back in Judah. We don't have any use for you here." And Amos says something that in essence goes like this: "I don't know why you keep calling me a prophet, because I'm not a prophet and I'm not the son of a prophet. I just grow figs and sycamore trees, and I was out in the field one day, and God said, I need you to go tell some people some things, and so I did." Amen. And then I look at Isaiah 6:8, and the Lord says, "Whom shall I send forth, and who will go for us?" And Isaiah looks around, and he says, "Well, what about me? Here I am, send me, I'll do it." And that's in essence what you all did. You all weren't preachers, if you will, before you came here. Or at least the vast majority of you weren't. And in a sense, God said, "I need somebody to go preach. Who can I get to go preach?" And you looked around the warehouse you were in, or the McDonald's you worked in, or whatever you were doing. And you said, "Well, what about me? Here I am. I'll do it. Send me." And you came here. And I love the fact that you made that choice, because that's not an easy choice to make. See, you all left your homes to come and learn how to preach. And that's not easy, unless you're from Oklahoma, anyway. It's easy to leave Oklahoma and come to Colorado. But other than that, it's not easy. Many of you had lucrative careers. You were getting paid pretty good money probably for doing what you were doing. Your families were probably comfortable where they were at, and yet you uprooted them and with the blessing of your wife and your children. In other words, how many people say, you know what, I've got a plan, let's move 1,000 miles away and we'll just live there for 2 years at a lot lower standard of living than we've been accustomed to, and then we'll go move somewhere else and think that's a great plan. But you did it. You made a choice. And I love that about you. Most of you have not been in school for years. And yet you said, you know what, I want to go back to school. And that's not something that really anybody probably looks forward to, especially after their past school years, as they've been traditionally looked at. But I love the fact that you guys said, I want to preach. And you came here to preach. And you came here to learn how to preach and to do what you could do for God's kingdom. I love that about you, and that's a testament to you. But secondly, I love the humility that you show by being in class here. In Proverbs 1 and verse 5, and I believe that Mike used both of these scriptures in his lesson about a love for learning, which was a really great lesson. But he said, in Proverbs 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. In Proverbs 9 and verse 9, the Bible says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. See, your acknowledgement, or the fact you're here, I should say, the fact you sit in class is an acknowledgement that you don't know everything. Now, I'm not standing up here before you saying I do, or any of the other faculty do. That's not the case either. But the fact that you're here says, I don't know everything. I don't know as much as I need to know about the Bible. Some of you may have only been Christians for a year, or maybe just a little longer. And maybe you don't know very much at all about the Bible. And that's fine, because everybody has to start somewhere and everybody has to learn. And you may have gone to your first class last Monday and learned more in that first class than you had learned, than you knew about the Bible your entire life put together. And if that's the case, that's fine. But you're humble enough to be here and to learn all that you can from men and women who have learned a thing or two about some of these matters. Some of you have been Christians for decades, and you may know more about certain aspects of the Bible or church work than the faculty do. But you're still here because you don't know everything and you understand that. Amen. Either way, it's refreshing to see a group of men and women who hunger and thirst for God's word. And just to be frank, there have been students in the past who were very irritated, it seemed. At least that's the impression they gave. They were irritated that they had to be here. Because after all, why would people who knew everything need to sit at the feet of men and women who know nothing about what they're talking about? And they seemed almost that if it wasn't just for this stupid formality of getting a piece of paper that churches for some strange reason wanted to see, that they wouldn't have been here. But I don't see that in you, and I love that for a variety of reasons. But I love that because of the impact that it's going to hold in your life and in God's kingdom. See, you have a humble attitude, and I love that humility. I love the choice you made to come to school here. I love the humility you show. Thirdly, I love the hard work that you put on display. Hard work is extolled in Scripture in Colossians 3:23 and 24. Paul says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord whom you serve. In Proverbs 22:29, the Bible says, do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. How do you get skilled in your work? You get skilled in your work by hard work, and hard work over time, over years and years and years. One of my favorite speakers, preachers to listen to while he was alive was Wendell Winkler. And I loved to listen to him because to me he sounded like if if the Ten Commandments couldn't have had Charlton Heston as the star, they would have asked Wendell Winkler. That's just how his voice sounded to me. But it was also about what he said. But how did he learn to craft sermons so well? How did he have that voice inflection and that timing to get the maximum impact for his points at various times in his sermon? How did he learn how to do all that? It wasn't just rolling out of bed one morning and deciding he was going to do it. It was working at it year after year after year, decade after decade. So decades after he had been honing his craft, so to speak, and I first heard him speak, I was the beneficiary of all his hard work. Well, hard work will do much for your ability and for your opportunity to further the Lord's kingdom. Not only will hard work make you a better preacher, but God will grant you greater opportunities for service in his kingdom the harder you work. Many of you have not been in school for years, and maybe when you were, you weren't the best student or the most dedicated student that you could have been. And if that's the case, it really doesn't matter anymore. It matters what kind of student you are now. And it matters the work ethic you have now. This school's not easy. You may have been in college before, and it's probably a lot harder than the college that you attended before. You probably figured out that this school wasn't easy the very first day you were in class. It's not like my brother-in-law, who was ordained as a minister online by paying a fee and then getting a certificate in the mail, and now he can perform marriage ceremonies. Now, for the record, this isn't the brother-in-law that's going to be teaching your Christian evidences class. He didn't even bother to get online to get his degree. But anyway, this is a different brother-in-law who's not a member of the church. But see, you're here working, and you're here working hard to be the best servant of Christ that you can be. Your time in the library and your time in the classroom are testaments to that. And brethren, I love that about you. It's an example to me. It's an example to the rest of the faculty, to your peers. It's an example to your families. It's an example of the churches that you'll go and preach to one day. It's not just the piece of paper you get. That piece of paper says, I've been through it. I've been through the ringer at Bear Valley, and I live to tell about it. And it's made me a better man and a better Christian and a better preacher to boot. So I love the choice that you made to come to school here. I love the humility that you show. I love the hard work that you display. And number four, I love the Christ-like attitude that you demonstrate. A Christ-like attitude is imperative, not just for a Christian, but especially for a preacher. If you don't have that, then you're not going to be able to do much. In Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each one of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." And brethren, those are two verses that are very difficult to apply to my life anyway. Maybe you guys are better than I am, and that wouldn't be a surprise if that's the case. But those are two verses I have a great deal of difficulty applying, because when I'm my worries, my fears, my heartaches, all the responsibilities I have and the concerns that I have in life, those tend to envelop me. And I get worried or concerned about those things and not so much about what anybody else is going through. That's human nature. But one thing I've really enjoyed and loved seeing about you is that that's not how you are. I'm still, I guess, a little bit under the weather, but last week I was even more under the weather. And when I got back, several of you said, "How are you doing, Will? Are you feeling better?" Now, granted, I wasn't near death or anything like that, but that showed that in spite of all the things you're going through, you were concerned about me. In other words, I understand what family pressures are like, and I can only imagine what it's like to uproot your family and bring them to a place that you haven't lived before. And in the midst of unpacking boxes and trying to figure out which street's Wadsworth and which street's Sheridan and where the grocery store is and where the school is and all those kinds of things, you're also trying to get started in a very challenging school. And you've got just the normal family pressures to go along with that. And yet here you are asking me how I'm doing. Many of you, as soon as you hit the ground in Denver, you were like a spiritual bloodhound or something, trying to sniff out which souls needed the gospel so you could take the gospel to them. Jacob has started this men's breakfast, which may not seem like a Christ-like attitude from one perspective, but to me, here's a guy who has tests and quizzes and papers to write and all these kinds of things to deal with, and yet he sees a need and says, you know what, I can do something about that need. Or you have Nathan, and there may be others involved in these things too that I just don't know names, but Nathan and Jacob are the ones who make these various announcements, so they're getting the credit, I guess. But Nathan has periodically said, hey, we're going to do some door knocking on a Saturday. Now, there's other things he could do with his Saturday. But he sees a need. And he says, you know what? I'm going to try and fill that need. And I appreciate the Christ-like spirit that I see in each and every one of you. And when you take all of these together, all these four qualities or attributes that we've discussed, all four of these give me the ability to give you point number five. In other words, the choice that you made and the humility that you show and the hard work that you display and the Christ-like attitude you exhibit, let me get to say that I love the impact that you will have for the kingdom of God. Because you do all those things, just think about what you're going to do in 2 years, or for some of you 1 year, or maybe some others several years. Just think about what you're going to do when you get out of this school. Think of the potential that exists in this room. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was giving the increase. Because of the choice you made to come and learn how to preach, because of the humility you show and the hard work you display and the Christ-like attitude you exhibit, what do you think God's going to do with the planting and the watering that you do? He's going to use it for the growth of his kingdom. There are 10 new students, and I don't know how many upperclassmen there are, or returning students there are, but let's just say 25. But just ponder all the potential good works that are waiting to happen in this room right now. Just think about that. Bob Turner, there he is, sorry. Bob Turner last week talked about the extension program, and he had that great illustration where if each person was doing 3 Bible studies a week and how many that would be in a year. I mean, if you had 25 students, the first year they get out of here, graduate from here, and they do 3 Bible studies a week, that's 75 Bible studies in a week. If you multiply that by 52, you have a number that I am too tired and under the weather to multiply in my head right now. But it's a big number. And that's just 3, and that's 3 Bible studies a week. Think about the number of souls. Think about the baptisms that might occur from those. But don't just think about that. Think about the people you baptize, who then go on to baptize 10 others. Now, you may not have had a direct hand in those 10 baptisms, but I guarantee you those 10 people that will be baptized are sure glad you baptized that one that you did, if you can unravel that sentence right there. But consider all the souls that will be saved by you. Consider all the lost souls the world over that will be saved by you. Not you as a group. I mean you as an individual. Consider all the saved souls that will stay saved because of you. Consider all the saved souls that will stay that way because in a moment of crisis and despair, you held their hand. Consider all the saved souls that will stay that way because when they were flirting with falling away, you sat down with them and begged them and pleaded with them to do what's right. Think of all the families that will stay together because you sat down with a husband and wife and helped them work through their problems. Think of all the children that will become Christians because of the example that you set, because of the things you say on a Sunday morning, because of the shaking of hands after your sermon is over and people are filing out, the high fives that you give little children, think of all the good that is waiting to be done in this room right now. I like to tease and I like to kid around, and especially about Greek and how torturous I enjoy making your lives and things like that for three quarters. But brethren, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for who you are. I'm excited for what you will do. I'm excited for what the kingdom of God will be because of what you are going to do in it. I love the choice that you made to come to school here. And I love the humility that you show by being in class. I love the hard work you display with the hours and hours and hours you put in to your studies. I love the Christ-like attitude that you show even in the midst of all the struggles that you're having. And I love it because of the impact all of that will have for the kingdom of God. You are standing, you as an individual, are standing on the edge of something spectacular, something marvelous, the precipice of something grand and great because of the power of God. And if you keep these qualities, you will do untold and probably unknown this side of heaven good for God's kingdom. Just look around and see the wonderful things that are just waiting to happen in this room right now. I love Bear Valley students. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Let's be standing for open prayer.